Amen. I want us to take our Bibles this morning and go to Matthew chapter number 14. And I'm amazed how the Lord puts things together. I came this morning going to preach another message. And I told Brother Andrew, I said, you know what the back of that church bulletin is for? I don't know if anybody else puts sermon notes on it, but I do. Amen. And the Lord, I was praying here this morning when I got to church, and God put this passage of scripture on my heart and this thought and said, I want you to preach this morning. And so I want to be obedient to God. I'd rather give you what God puts on my heart as to just give you something that's been in my head. Amen. And all the Word of God is good. Truth will help all of us. But what we need is timely truth. Amen. It's truth in the season that God wants it in. So if you'll go with us to Matthew chapter 14 this morning, if you're able to stand, Matthew chapter 14, just for the reading of God's Word and prayer. Then after we pray, you can be seated. Matthew chapter 14. And I want to just pick up a few verses in the midst of a story where Jesus comes out, and I'm amazed the song they just sang, how fitting it was for the message that I'm going to preach this morning. God knew all of that this morning. But when I want to pick up this story where Jesus comes out in the midst of the storm, the fourth watch of the night, and he's walking out on the sea. And you know the story there, but when we get to verse number 28, he has just spoke out to the disciples because they think it is a spirit, and Jesus gives them a word. He said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now, I want you to notice with me in verse number 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink and cried, saying, Lord, save me. Father, I ask you this morning, if you would, to give us the words and the wisdom. May we not say anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit, but may you be glorified. May your Son be magnified and the church edified this morning. I pray that sinners would be saved on the terms of the gospel. We pray, God, that you would help backsliders this morning. I ask you this morning to warm the hearts of those that need to be stirred today. And God, we ask you to help us to receive with meekness the engrafted word. And Lord, may we see no man save Jesus only. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Now, I read a portion of this scripture this morning on purpose because I really don't want to focus as much on Jesus this morning as I want to focus on Peter here in this text. And you'll notice when we get to verse number 28, the word has been spoken to all the disciples, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. But when we get to verse 28, Peter enters more into the story now. And I want you to notice Peter in verse 28 because I see Peter daring as he says here, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, that's a big dare, isn't it? Amen? There's been a lot of debate down through the years as to whether or not Peter should have ever got out of the boat, and I'll not spend a lot of time on that this morning because I do think that there's a lesson in both things. If Peter would have never got out of the boat and just obeyed the orders to go to the other side, he would not have risked his life, and Jesus was coming to the boat, and the message should be to all of us this morning, if the boat is a picture and type of the church and the world is like the troubled sea that are turned and tossed, the best advice for any of us is to not jump ship but stay in the boat. Amen. Jesus was coming to the boat. He would have still calmed the storm and they would have still went to the other side and Peter would have saved himself a lot of trouble. Amen. But on the other side of that coin, Peter didn't step out on the water, but he stepped out on the Word of God. He had more faith, if that's what you want to say, than any other disciple because he is daring in this text. If it is really God, Peter is willing to put everything on the line to trust Jesus. Amen. I want to say anybody that ever puts everything on the line will never go under if you're putting it on Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we see Peter daring in this text. And then we see Peter deciding. Look at verse number 29. Jesus says, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, Jesus says, come on, Peter, if that's what you want to do. And you know what Peter does? He makes a conscious choice. He makes a conscious decision to get out of the boat and to go to where Jesus is. Now, whether Peter should have got out of the boat or not, it does not really matter at this point. What matters is that Peter would rather be on liquid water in the midst of the storm with Jesus as to be on the boat without him. His motive is to just get to where Jesus is. So Peter is deciding and Peter is daring. And then Peter is doing. Look at verse number 29 again. The Bible says that he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, it's pretty hard to criticize a man that has walked on water. Wouldn't you agree with that? Because I've never walked on water, and you've never walked on water, and outside Jesus, nobody's ever walked on water but Peter. Amen? But I say in this text, Peter is doing exactly what he trusted God to do. And if you'll trust God, he will help you to do what you and I are not able to do. Thank God he can do it through us. Amen? I think you'll agree this morning that it is not Peter really that's walking on the water as much as it is the Lord is helping Peter to walk on what he's not able to walk on. And God will help you and I do what we are not capable of doing. And so Peter is doing. And up to this point, everything is going pretty good, isn't it? But then we see Peter in verse number 30. Peter is doubting, isn't he? As the Bible said, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Peter takes his eyes off the Lord and gets his eyes on the storm. I'm preaching both sides of this story to confuse you on purpose. You're going to have to go away this morning and say, should he have got out of the boat? Should he have stayed in the boat? You have to make your own decision. Had Peter, Jesus knew he would get his eyes off of him and put them on the storm. They already were on the storm before, and that storm just became more real when Peter got out of the boat. I tell you, the church is a safe place to be. Isn't that right? You know where Jesus is coming to? He's coming for the church. Amen. You know where he's going to take us to? He's going to take us to the other side. You know what he's going to do before we get to the other side? He's going to calm every storm. He's going to lay down every wave. He's going to get rid of every wind that's in our life. Amen. I don't care if it's my rapture by the grave, one way or the other. Thank God we're headed to a better country. We're headed to a better day. We're going to a place where there is no storm clouds, where there is no suffering, where there is no wind and there is no waves. Thank God on the sunny banks of sweet deliverance. It'll be springtime forever as a million years go by. Thank God it'll be a place where the sun never sets in the sky and the storm clouds never come and the old ship is high. We'll land safely on the other side. Hallelujah. It's just better to stay in the boat, I think. Amen. But he gets out of the boat and he starts doubting. You know, you get away from the church, you're going to get in trouble. And I see Peter goes from doubting. Look at that next phrase. The Bible said in verse 30, this is where I want to preach a few minutes this morning. He's beginning to sink. I see Peter drowning. You ever start doubting, it won't be too long, you'll start drowning. And Peter is drowning in this text. He is not completely under. He is beginning to go under. And he's about to go under. He's starting to sink. And Peter is drowning. He knows that it'll be just a matter of a few moments, just a matter of a few seconds, and he is going to go under. But Peter has a hope in this text. And you know that hope this morning is what they just sang about a while ago. I come to tell you that there is hope. Well, I come to tell you this morning there's hope too this morning. And Peter has hope, isn't that right? We know at the end of the story, Peter's not going to drown, amen? And the reason Peter is not going to drown is found in verse 30. The Bible says he cried, amen? You see, Peter has a prayer this morning. I want to preach a few minutes on this subject, on the prayer of a drowning saint, amen? The prayer of a drowning saint. You see, this morning we all know what it is. sins to begin to sink in life. Sometimes it's the pressures and the problems and the people of life sometimes can overwhelm us, and the storms of life has a way of being bigger and boisterous and more troublesome than what we are. And if you and I are not careful, we can go from one hilltop to sinking sand real quick. That's just the way life is. Amen. One phone call, one day, one report, one announcement, one tragedy, one situation. And if we're not careful, we can begin to drown. One doubt, one fear, one worry, one stress can put us in that mode, that panic mode that Peter finds himself in. And Peter doesn't give up, thank God. He begins to pray. And you'll notice his prayer in verse number 30. It's a simple prayer, isn't it? He said, "Lord, save me." That's a pretty simple prayer, isn't it? He's not like the Pharisees. He's not standing on the corner. He's not heard for as much speaking. It's just a simple prayer. It's a very short prayer this morning. It's only three words, matter of fact. I would say to you this morning that short prayers works just as good as long prayers. Amen. Don't get me wrong. There's a time to pray wrong or pray long. But I would say this morning that the songwriter had it right when he said, "Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right." Amen. I'm thankful for the long talk. I'm thankful for the long conversations, but sometimes we find ourselves in a situation like Peter's here, where you don't have time for a long prayer, and Peter doesn't have time. It's just a simple prayer, but it's a very short prayer. Amen. But then thank God it is a saving prayer, because the end of the story is Peter does not drown, he's saved. A little three-word prayer, my friend, makes the difference in Peter's life. The prayer of this drowning saint, just three little words. You know, you may only be one prayer away from getting the need met in your life. You say, "But Brother Gravely, the need is big. The storm is big." Yes, but the God that we pray to is greater than the need. He's bigger than the storm. And my friend, the answer doesn't depend upon me. The answer depends upon him this morning. And if we'll cry out to him like Peter does in verse number 30, he is willing to hear and to answer our prayers this morning. The prayer of a drowning saint. I want to look at this prayer. It's just three words, but I want to look at the prayer of a drowning saint this morning. Could be somebody here drowning. You may be a sinner drowning in your sin. You may be a saint drowning in your sorrow or drowning in your storm. I want to tell you, God still answers prayer this morning. Jeremiah 33:3 said, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not of." The Bible is full of promise after promise. Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and to him that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." I'm glad we have the privilege of prayer, but I'm thankful we have the promise of prayer. Amen. But David said in Psalm 65:2, I quoted it Wednesday night, "O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." I'm glad we have a God that we can pray to, a God that we can go to. Amen. He said in 1 John 5:13, "And this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." This morning, do you believe God answers prayer? Have you seen God answer prayer in your life? The prayer of a drowning saint. It is never God's will for you to drown. He wants to deliver you this morning. Oftentimes when people drown, it's because of their own choice. It's their own making. If you think about people that can swim, do you know more swimmers drown than people who cannot swim? And the reason for that is because they put too much confidence in their own ability to swim. "Oh, I can swim, so I can jump in this water." But you don't know what's below it. Could be a riptide, could be a rock that you could hit your head on, could be a snake, a viper, could be something there. And people oftentimes never respect the water once they learn how to swim. It's because they think they can take care of themselves. Isn't that the way it is oftentimes in life? When we think we can take care of ourselves, when we think we can handle the situation on our own, that's when we begin to drown. I noticed the first word in Peter's prayer. Notice he said here, Lord. That's the first word in the prayer of this drowning saint. I'd say that's a good word, wouldn't you? I'd say that's the way to start a prayer off, is the word Lord. Because the one that we pray to is not ourself. It is the Lord. And the only one can help us is not ourself, but it is the Lord. The first word of his prayer is the reason he did not drown, because it was the Lord that was there. It was his presence. It was his power. It was he that helped him. And I want to say this morning that when Peter cries out, Lord, it revealed his need, and it also revealed his nature. You see, it's just in us this morning, because God created us that when trouble comes so big that we can't do something, in that moment of urgency, there's something inside of the heart of man that knows there's a God in heaven and knows that we must call upon him. Amen. Remember Genesis chapter 4 verse 25 said, then men began to call upon the Lord. I've seen people, and you have too, they say they're an atheist, say they don't believe in God. But why is it when tragedy hits, they get that phone call that a loved one has been tragically killed in an accident, and the first thing they cry out is, oh God. Well, if there is no God, why do they cry out to him? I'm going to tell you why. Because in the heart of man, he give every man a measure of faith. What that man does with that faith is his choice and up to him. I like what D.L. Moody said. He said, the elect is those that say whosoever will, and the unelect is those who say whosoever will not. Amen. I'm telling you, God put faith in every man's heart, and every man's got a choice, and every man knows deep down in the recesses of his soul that there is a God. If there is no God, then why spend a lifetime telling people there is no God? Amen. I'll tell you something about an atheist that they never do. They never run around trying to convince people there is no devil. Have you ever noticed that? But they do spend all their time and energy trying to convince people that there is no God. Well, if there is no God, then there is no devil this morning. But I'll tell you, there is a God in heaven and there is a devil in hell this morning. I'm telling you today, my friend, that his first prayer was Lord. Amen. The first word of that prayer. Who we call upon this morning in trouble depends upon whether or not we're going to drown. I think you can go to a pastor, you can go to a pastor's wife for counsel, but they cannot deliver you. A preacher is not a pope. The pope cannot deliver anyone. This morning you can go to people that you have a lot of confidence in, and they can pray with you, and they can pray for you, but they cannot deliver you. If you're in trouble this morning, you have to look up if you want help. You have to come to God. You cannot deliver yourself, your friends, your family, those around you cannot deliver you. Peter is in a situation. How far he was out on the water, we don't know exactly, but I would dare to say he was far enough that he knew there was no chance of him getting a hold of the boat. He was far enough to know that there was no chance of anybody in that boat helping him. Peter finds himself in a situation where he cannot help himself. Others in the boat cannot help him. I'm telling you, we're going to face times in like that in life, and the only one who can help us is the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you, I'm glad the Lord was within reach. The Lord was right there with Peter. He knew Peter was going to sink before Peter knew that. He let Peter get out of that boat knowing good and well he wouldn't make it to the destination. But God was right there so that when he began to sink, his head never did go under. He didn't let him nearly drown. I'm telling you, as soon as he went down, he looked at Jesus. He got his eyes off the storm and got his eyes back on Jesus, and he cried, Lord. Amen. You know, this morning, if you need to be saved, you need to come to this altar and call on the Lord. I could pray you through a little prayer, But my words won't save you. But if you'll come and call on the Lord. I was praying with a man one time in Angola State Penitentiary. I'll never forget, he came down to the altar. We got down there and we was praying. And I said to him, I said, sir, what'd you come for? He said, I want to be saved. I said, well, all you need to do is call on the Lord. He looked at me and he said, I don't know the Lord. I looked back at him. I said, do you want to know the Lord? He said, I do. I said, then call on him and ask him to save you. I said, he's listening to you. And that man called on the Lord. I don't remember what he said. But he didn't pray. He didn't pray a religious prayer. He didn't say all the things that you and I would say that knows the Bible. But I do remember he said this. He said, Lord, would you rescue me? And I didn't know what else he said. I really, because that phrase so got a hold of me. Anything else that man said left me because I thought, well, that's a pretty good way to put it. Amen. Lord, would you rescue me? You say, what happened? He got rescued in that altar. Amen. He got done praying. I said, sir, I said, did the Lord do anything for you? He said, he rescued me. I said, that's good enough for me if that's good enough for you, because that's good enough for heaven. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, do you need rescued? Do you need rescued from the flames of hell? Do you need rescue from the storms of life? There's a God in heaven this morning seated high upon his throne. I want to say the waves and the billows are under his feet. And there is no problem this morning that's too big or too small. If you'll come and you'll call upon the Lord this morning. The first word of his prayer. And then I noticed the fitting word of his prayer. Look at that second word. He said, Lord, save. I like that phrase. I thought when I read that, I thought, you know, God likes that phrase. Because that's what he sent Jesus here to do. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, he said, for the Son of Man has come to what? Seek and save that which was lost. Amen. You see, Jesus performed miracles while he was here on this earth. And Jesus healed the lame. And he made the lepers cleansed. And he made them whole. And he opened the eyes of the blind. And Jesus did all these miracles. Why did Jesus do these miracles? Well, number one, because he had compassion on the multitude. And he wanted to help them. And so he healed them. But then secondly, because there were certain miracles that they said that the Old Testament prophesied that when Messiah come, which was Jesus Christ and is Jesus Christ, is that only Messiah would be able to do these miracles. And so whenever he opened the eyes of the blind, when he raised the dead, these were miracles that, my friend, that the Messiah would do. And it would open the eyes of Israel so that they would know that Jesus Christ was the Savior. He was the Messiah. That's the purpose of those miracles. But Jesus did not leave heaven. He did not leave the portals of glory and come to this earth so that he could perform miracles. He made it very clear. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The greatest of all miracles is when Jesus saves a sinner. And if you're here this morning, if there was somebody sitting in this congregation that was blind physically, but they were also lost spiritually, then I would say this morning, your greatest need is not that your physical eyesight be open, but your greatest need is that you see yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior and you get born again. You would be better off to never see this world with a physical eye, but to get saved and be able to see the eternal world with a spiritual eye this morning. I'm telling you, the Lord came to save. And the most fitting word is the middle word of this prayer. Lord, save. I want to tell you this morning, God is still in the soul-saving business. He's interested in saving a soul from hell. He's interested in saving you out of the pitfalls and the snares of life. If you're someone that's struggling with sin, maybe you're saved, but you're in sin. You ought to come this morning and say, God, save me out of this mess I'm in. Lord, I've made some bad choices. I've went down the wrong road. Would you save me from the mess that I'm in? He will not let you sink. He will not let you drown. If you'll ask him to save you this morning. If bitterness is drowning you, you ought to ask God to save you from bitterness. If jealousy is eating you up, you ought to ask God to save you from that jealousy. I want to say this morning, if your marriage is on the rocks, you ought to get on the altar this morning and say, Lord, save my marriage. If you've got a spouse that is unsaved, you ought to get on the altar and say, Lord, save my spouse. If you have a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter, you ought to get on the altar and say, Lord, save that prodigal son. Pray, save that prodigal daughter. You say, why would I do that? Because the Lord is in the saving business. That's what he wants to do. If there's anything that is the will of God, we know this is the will of God. It is the will of God that nobody drowns and that every person is saved. Hallelujah. Grandchildren, you ought to pray, Lord, save them. Your children, you ought to pray, God, save them. You say, Brother Gravely, the more I pray, the worse they get. Sometimes they got to go further down to look up. Amen. That prodigal son had to get the hog pen. He had to lose everything he had. He had to get down to eating husk with the swine. That's in order when he looked down at that husk that the swine did eat. The Bible said then he came to himself. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes it takes the hard knocks of life. Sometimes it takes nearly drowning and dying to get some people to look up. You better hear me this morning. You say, well, preacher, I'm not going in the right way, but life seems to be going okay right now. You may only be one step away from drowning. Friend, you better look up this morning. There is a God that wants to save you from the mess that you're in today. I don't know how many times in life the Lord has saved us. I'm not talking about our soul, our life, our mind, her emotions. I won't bore you with the detail, but I remember one night falling on my knees. And the devil had so brought me to a low point. And I fell on my knees and I said, Dear God, would you help me? I'm in such a vice. And the song echoed across my soul. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way. When sorrows, like sea, billows roll. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. And the Lord gave me this verse of scripture. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I want to tell you, it wasn't just that day, but it was the beginning of that day that God turned that captivity. I'm here to tell you this morning, there's a real devil, but oh hallelujah, there's a real God. And God's bigger than the devil. And God is stronger than the devil this morning. And if you look up and if you say, Lord, save, it doesn't matter how deep the waters may be, it doesn't matter where you're at, he's still able to reach further down than what you can reach up and rescue you from the storms of life that you may be in. It's a fitting word to say save. If you're here this morning, you say, preacher, you don't know where I'm at in life. You don't know. You know, the devil will either tell you you're too old to get saved and you've done too much, or he'll tell you you're too young to get saved and you hadn't done enough. That's the devil this morning. But the truth of our text is the Lord will save anybody. Young, old, rich, poor, so-called good or bad, he'll take anybody. You can't find one place in this Bible where anybody ever came to Jesus and put their faith in him and wanted to be saved and did not get saved. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. You know, if you're out in sin this morning, you could stop it just right here, right now. You've made a lot of mistakes and you messed your life up. So what? You don't have to mess the rest of it up. Well, I've made a lot of bad choices. So what? There's a lot of people made a lot of bad choices. All you have to do is get on the altar and say, Lord, I'm really sorry. And I want to ask you this morning, unashamedly, would you save me from the mess I've made of my life? How many of y'all think the Lord would do that? You know how I know he'd do that for you? Because he did it for me. You say, well, I've wasted a lot of precious years. Who cares? May surprise me, may surprise you, but it has not surprised God. Do you know before Jesus went to Calvary, he knew everything you'd be. He knew everything I'd be. He knew how sorry and low down we'd all be. Can I get an amen right there? He knew every failure. He knew every mistake I would ever make and you'd ever make. He knew every time he'd ever call on our heart and we'd ignore him. And I tell you, I don't know why he'd do it. He should have let us all went to hell. You know that, amen? But it's just because of his mercy and because of his grace and his compassion this morning. He knew the mess and the scars and everything else. But in spite of all that, love prevailed. He still loves you. He still cares about you. And he wants to save this morning. The most fitting word that could ever roll off my lips or yours to the Lord is the word save. Lord, save. The first word, the fitting word, and then notice the final word. It's the word me. It would do no good for Peter to have said, Lord, would you save all those disciples on that boat? He is going to do that. Wouldn't do Peter no good to pray for them right now. I've seen people come to the altar that need to be saved, and when they get down here, they come all the way down here knowing they've been under conviction. And I say, why'd you come to the altar? And in that very moment, I can tell they're wrestling with it, the pride of man. Rather than just say, I'm lost and I need to be saved, they'll sometimes, people will say, well, I just come down here to pray for somebody. And it's a disappointing time when you know somebody's not saved. And they go so far, Brother Daniels, to get out of their seat and come to the very place they could get saved. And they back up. You know how you get saved? You do what Peter did. You wave the old white flag and say, Lord, save me. It's me, Lord. Peter said, Lord, I'm drowning. Save me. Save me before I go under. Don't you want God to save you before you go under? Here's Jesus. He's willing to do it. He's standing in the presence of Peter. But I'll tell you something. The Lord's not going to do it if Peter don't ask. Peter's going to drown at the feet of Jesus if he don't ask. Sinner, you'll go to hell at the foot of the cross if you don't ask the Lord to save you. Calvary has to become personal. Calvary has to be precious. You have to see your need. Peter, there's no denying it. He's sinking. He's going under. And if Peter is at this point, the final word is me. Lord, I started out with you, and it's all about you. But Lord, I'm in trouble. Oh, sinner, hear me. God will save you if you can get in trouble this morning. If you realize you're in trouble, if you'll come, he'll save you. You know why the rich young ruler didn't get saved? He came to the right place. And the right person. He even came for the right purpose to inherit eternal life. But when Jesus looked at him and said, sell everything you got and give it to the poor, that man walked away sorrowful. Because at the end of the day, he was all about his things. So why did that man not get saved? He thought he had earned the right to inherit eternal life. Friend, we receive it, but we don't inherit it. It is an inheritance, but inheritance is something. If Brother Laddie passed away today and left an inheritance, I do not deserve that inheritance because I'm not a member of that family. And this morning, salvation is a free gift to all this morning. We don't earn salvation. We don't do anything to keep salvation. All these things, he told Jesus, I've done from my youth. He said, you lack one thing. Why was he wanting that man to sell everything? He wanted to point out to him, you're not good enough. I know your heart. There's something you're still holding on to. If you've done all these things, then sell everything you got and give it to the poor. Jesus knew good and well he wouldn't do that. He wasn't willing. This morning, selling everything you got will not get you into heaven. But I'll tell you, if you'll cry out to God and say, Lord, save me. I'm in trouble. See, that's where you got to get, sinner. You got to get in trouble so you can be saved. Well, if God troubles the waters of your soul this morning and you know you're lost, then you can get saved. Hey, listen, if you're here this morning and you're saved, but you're a rebel and you're going the wrong way, you say, I don't like coming here. When I come here, preacher, sometimes you preach sermons and I feel bad. That's not me making you feel bad. That's the Lord dealing with your heart. And your heart is troubled. And I talked to somebody this week whose heart is troubled. And I said to that person, I said, you got to get these things right with God. If you want that trouble to go away, then you need to cry out to God to save you this morning. I have this question about Peter. Did his prayer work? Look at verse 31. Well, look at the timing. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand. You say, how quick would God save me if I come to the altar and ask him? Immediately. Well, preacher, I've been going down this road of sin for a long time. How quick would the Lord rescue me if I caught immediately? He won't waste. You might have wasted a lot of time in getting to God, but I'm going to tell you something. God will waste no time in getting to you this morning if you'll come to him. The timing. Notice the touch. Jesus stretched forth his hand. Jesus reached down and physically he lifted him out. Isn't that what David said in Psalms 40? I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined his ear unto me and heard my cry. And he lifted me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And I put a new song in my mouth. I'll sing praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. The touching, the timing. And then the truth, Jesus teaches him a lesson, O thou of little faith, where didst thou doubt? You know what I love about what Jesus said in that question? Peter doubted. And Jesus even said he had little faith. But that little faith in a great big God rescued him from the storm of life. People say, well, I just don't know if I have enough faith. Do you have any faith? Because it only takes a little faith to be saved. The day I got saved, I didn't know anything about, I couldn't tell you the plan of salvation. I couldn't quote scriptures. You'd come up and say, well, if you're saved, give me some scripture. I couldn't quote scripture on how to be saved. But here's what I did know. I knew I was lost. I knew I couldn't save myself. And I knew the only one that could save me was Jesus. And so the best way I knew how, I came to him. Put what little bit of faith I had, Lord, save me. It works. Where's Miss Tammy at? There you are back there. That's what George said right here on the corner of this altar. Lord, he said those exact words. Lord, save me. And me being the good religious person that I am, I said, that's all he said. I said, sir, why'd you come? He said, I'm George, I'm Tammy's husband. He said, and I need to be saved. I said, well, let me get my Bible. He said, preacher, don't. They've all done told me how to be saved. I said, well, you want to ask the Lord to save you? He said, yes. I was expecting this big prayer, Miss Tammy. And only George, if you know Brother George and his words, he talked to God the same way he talked to me and you. He just said, Lord, save me. And I sat there for a second. I said, is that it? I know y'all way more spiritual than I am. That's all you're going to say? I said, you won't say anything else? Nope. And in my mind, I thought, now wait a minute here. Let's back up. I said, don't you want to say something else? He said, no, he saved me. He probably saved him coming down that aisle. I said, all right. And when I started to get up from right over, George got saved right here. And when I got up from right here, the Lord said, that's what Peter said. And I saved him. I'm going to tell you this morning, it's the condition of your heart. If you really want to get right with God this morning, get out of your seat and come, and the Lord will help you. If you'll come to him. But if you sit in your seat and say, no, not today, or I'll do this on my own, you can't. You're going to have to come to Jesus. Peter came to the Lord. You know, I thought about this when I read that text this morning. In fact, I wrote this little question down beside it. Was it better for Peter? Would it have been better for Peter to have walked on the water and never sunk? Or was it better for Peter to walk on the water and to sink so that Jesus could rescue him? I think Peter was better off sinking and praying. Because if Peter would have walked all the way out to Jesus and looked back, the disciples, well, they wouldn't have been seeing Jesus. They'd have been in that boat saying, did you just see what Peter did? No, when Jesus got back to that boat, it wasn't, did you just see what Peter did? It was, did you just see what Jesus did? And it was all Jesus the whole time. Had Peter got back to that boat, walked out there and walked back, he might have come back strutting. So, boy, how'd y'all like that? Rest of y'all, you bunch of heathens, you could have all got out of the boat with me. And Peter would have walked tall all over that boat. The only other man outside of Jesus to ever walk on water. That's not how Peter came back. He about drowned. And when he came back with a tight grip on the hand that had reached out and lifted him up. And with every step, he knew the only way I'm able to make it is because I'm holding on to the one who kept me from drowning. And I tell you, the only way you're going to make it through this life is for him to keep a tight grip on us this morning. I'm telling you this morning, every one of us had drowned in this life had it not been for that unseen hand that old brother Ed Blue used to sing about. The unseen hand that's reached out. How many times would I not even be here this morning had it not been for the Lord? And this morning as we stand, I tell you who I'm preaching to. I'm preaching to those who are drowning. I don't know if you're lost. I don't know if it's a storm or sorrow. I don't know what it is. But all I can tell you is this morning, he don't want you to drown. The prayer of a drowning saint. While we sing...